Hello everyone, happy new year and welcome to another year of the NBL News Podcast. Today I'm just here with Jackson. I don't know where Aiden is. He's disappeared. Where has he gone, Jackson?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well. Just had a lovely day at the tennis and I'm back in lovely Perth, in lovely suburban Perth. So that's going well.
Do we have any idea where Aiden is?
No. For all I know, he could be in a hostage situation right now. So I don't know where he is. He's just gone. He hasn't seen any of our messages. So hopefully he's all right.
The show goes on.
It does.
The show goes on. If he joins halfway through, so be it. But a lot to talk about this week either way. I think the main news is I'm interested to hear your take. You're a Wildcats fan. Yep. We know Ty Webster, big signing this offseason. It seems like Perth do this every season now. At this point of the season, they make this movie scene. Well, it kind of happened last season. I'm sorry we have to go there, Jackson, but John Brown, yep. They try to make their move last season. The year before, Will Magnay. The year before that, Miles Plumley. They almost made a move that year. They won the championship. Bryce Cotton as well. It happens very frequently for the Wildcats and normally pays off. So, interesting move. Ty Webster has signed him on a two-year deal. That second year is mutual. Lefty's Turkish side. Average 8 points, couple assists over there. So, pretty average. Numbers, I mean, played EuroLeague for Zalgiris, I believe, in Lithuania.
Yep.
Just after the Breakers season. So, he's been playing EuroLeague. He's still a quality player. Averaged 17 points for the Breakers a couple seasons back. So, he's got to come in as a high-profile player in the league. And obviously, he's gone to Perth because his brother's playing there. I don't think there's any other reason he would have gone to Perth. Had he gone there if Corey Webster was there? Mm. Probably not. So, Jackson, what are your thoughts on this Ty Webster signing?
First of all, like, it is a very high-level signing by Perth. And I think it's smart to get him on a two-year deal because next year both him and his brother are an option. So if this doesn't work out, you know, they can part ways and, you know, change their course. However, with the way Corey's been playing, I think Perth will be stupid to not re-sign him. And with Ty signing, it is a very interesting signing due to the fact that what they need is a rebounding and rim-protecting big man and not another guard. Because now they have four starting-level guards on their team in both Webster's, Cotton and Norton. Yeah. And you're not going to be starting four guards. You're not going to be playing four guards in crunch time, right? Yeah. And it's going to be very interesting what they do in terms of the starting lineup from here on out, because Bryce, Corey, LT, Manic and Thomas recently has been working quite well, especially with Manic in his last game when he was a rebounding machine. So look, I wouldn't be changing that, at least in the near future, if I was Perth, and I'm not a coach. I'm not even close to being a coach, but if I'm Perth, I wouldn't change that until later. I mean, Luke Travers' injury may force a change because he did his ankle, and even though JR was very, you know, confident that he would play in the post-game press conference, I'm not too sure right now. So we'll just have to wait and see on that. But look, very high-level signing by Perth, but it's not quite the one they need.
The right fit.
Yeah, but look, it's still the best available. So,
yeah,
you know, that's 100%. The only thing that they could have done.
You're right there. If he's on the market, you take him. You know, like as I said, he's played EuroLeague, counts as a local, he won't count as a marquee, who's played EuroLeague as a local, average 70 points a couple of years. Of course you got to take him. I mean, he's
And here's the thing, they're getting him on.
Yeah.
They're getting him on quite a cheap deal because it's only half a year thing.
Exactly.
So it's not like they're spending mega bucks on him this year, even though next year may be a bit more.
All they're doing is basically upgrading Corey Sherville. No disrespect to him, but he's been in and out of the squad for the last 2 years. He's played about five games in the last 2 years. So that's an upgrade, huge upgrade when you get Ty Webster in your team. So, of course, you've got to take that option. But then again, when you bring a guy like him in, it takes shots away from Brady Manick, who just came off his his career best game, I would say 25-point double-double, I think it was. Todd Blanchfield, he hasn't been who he has been in the past, especially when he was under Trevor Gleeson at Perth, when he first season at Perth. He hasn't played like that since. Luke Travis, I know he's not supposed to be a scorer, but it still takes shots away from him. Tayshaun Thomas even, and the obvious ones in Corey Webster, Bryce Cotton. There's a lot of shots that need to be taken between those guys, and how's it got to work? I don't know, but Mitch Norton hasn't been as good. Mitch Norton and Todd Blanchfield are two guys that haven't been performing as well as I think most people expected to be. So I think it's a good move, but you got to get Ty Webster to be a guy that's got to be unselfish, share the rock a lot. Because then again, you got Bryce Cotton on the team who needs his shots. Brady Manick, to be a successful player, needs his shots. So it'll be interesting to see how it works, but there you go. Do you think they'll go on a winning streak? Do you think they'll go on a good record now? Where do you see them finishing?
I can see them finishing within the play-in 3-6 range. I can see them more in the 5-6 rather than the 3-4, but that range is still wide open for literally half the competition. But I wouldn't say it's a lock yet because you've got Tassie, you've got Adelaide. Melbourne is somehow still a chance after losing all those games. And, like, Cairns can easily drop down and
all so those. So can Sydney South and Breakers. Melbourne. If Sydney or Breakers, I doubt it happens, but if they go on a four-game losing streak, which is possible in the unheard NBL, of. But it's possible for them. They could be out of the race as well. They could be out of the play-in. So that's how close it is. Hey, even the Bullets have got a mathematical chance still.
The thing with Perth is that I forget who posted it, but somebody posted like the rest of the season team's strength of fixture, and Perth has the hardest fixture. They haven't played Sydney once yet. Right. And they have New Zealand once more and another one, I think, against New Zealand. No, they have them twice. They have them tomorrow and then on the 10th. And then I think they play Illawarra one more time, which is, nothing. But in terms of their strength of fixture, it's quite hard in comparison to the rest of the league. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Be interesting. It's a coincidence he's playing his first game against New Zealand tomorrow in New Plymouth. Great place in New Plymouth there. I've watched a game there a couple years back. So it'll be an interesting game to see. That one. But let's talk about the Hawks. Their bad luck this year continues. This has not been one of their best years. You could even argue it was worse than that LaMelo Ball season this year. I mean, three imports injured, season-ending injuries is unheard of. I don't think that's ever happened in the NBL, as far as I know, three imports out for having season-ending injuries in the one season. As the news broke today, Payne Seaver, shoulder injury, that's season ending for him. And he was there to replace Robinson, who I was really looking forward to. He got injured round one and out for the season. George King, another import that was injured halfway through the season. People got to think he left, but he did get injured for the season. And Michael Fraser's missed a few games as well. It's been all over the place for them. You have to look, they've been given Monday night games, about six or five Monday night games. They've got no sponsors on the front of their jerseys. Just, I don't know, they lose Brian Gorgian, their owner, takes a step back. It's not been a good season at all for the Hawks. But look, you still got nearly 3,000 people rocking up last night to support them. They've still got a strong fan base, and they're still staying afloat. But talk to me about the Hawks, Jackson, their bad season and what Payton Seaver brought to them in that short amount of time.
Well, Seaver brought a real playmaker, which I'd argue they never really needed. But he was great for them in his short stint there. And it only ended due to Robinson's injury at the start of the season, which nobody saw coming. And they would have been a much better team had he never been injured. And like King, who knows whether he was actually injured or not. Like, I'm not here to speculate, but it was looking like the team wanted to part ways with him regardless whether he was injured or not. And with Siva, he was a great playmaker for the team. He racked up assists. He was great for me in fantasy for a short time. But yeah, he's going to be missed by them, but I wouldn't be making a change anytime soon. I'd be saving up money for next year because there's no chance they can make finals now or play in or even get up from last, I'd say. So I just don't see the point.
100%. And I don't think you even bring in an import point guard and bring him into next season, because it looks like Robinson will probably re-sign with them next season, and he will probably come cheap because he stayed here. I think he only left recently, probably just before Christmas he left. So he was recovering here for about 2 months.
Yeah.
3 months. So I think he'll come on a cheap deal too, and they really like him. So I think he'll stay next season. And you just got to build the young guys now. I asked this to Giacomis. I said, is it time to give guys like Gak and Dent more minutes? And, you know, he disagreed, didn't think it was the time, but I think it is now. Like the season's over. There's literally nothing you can do but just develop Gak. You know, he's been getting 0 minutes all season from a guy that has played summer league as recent as during the off season. Why isn't he getting at least 5 minutes on the court? I don't know what's going on there. Will Hickey develop in Madronia? You know, that's what they got to do right now. Give those guys 30 minutes. And if you're bringing in an injury replacement, bring a young guy from the NBL one, you know, maybe even bring in Sherville or someone like that. That's just, you know, got to develop. Don't give minutes to Kevin White or Tim Cronin. As much as they are legends of the NBL, there's no doubt those guys are probably finishing up this season. So, you know, give minutes to these young guys and just develop them. That's all you can do right now as the Illawarra Hawks. And just hope people still turn out. Just try and make amends on the rest of the finals teams. But
can I ask you a question?
Go on.
Who's had a worse season, both on and off court, Brisbane or Illawarra?
I think off the court, Brisbane by a mile, but on the court, the court, Illawarra.
And an overall package?
Oof. It's hard to go by a team that has three head coaches in one season, almost four. So I would say Brisbane by far, but Illawarra is more just bad luck, I feel like, for them. Brisbane is just like your own doing. Like, what, you didn't have to have 3-4 coaches in a year and make these import changes. You know, I think it was mostly on them, whereas the Hawks, it's like, you know, Justin Robinson goes down round one, you know, what can you do? So sucks for them, bad luck, but move on. Taipans, they're the real deal. Now, I made a hot take last week, and I always regret my hot take, saying that they won't make the play-in. And look, without Pinder, I thought there's no chance that they beat Adelaide this weekend, especially, you know, when you look at that during the game as well, you could say that. They were down by 18 points with 6 minutes left. I thought, yeah. I'm good. My hot take's good. They're nothing without Pinder. You know, Cairns are overrated. They win that game. I don't know how they win that game. Shannon Scott, he's a guy that he was averaging 4 points. 4 points in Germany last season. And he put 32 points on Antonius Cleveland, Andre Dech, and Mitch McCarron. I just don't understand this league. And I just don't understand the Cairns Taipans this season. They have been definitely the most surprising in a while, most surprising team in seasons. I mean, that game in general, Jackson, that Cairns Adelaide game. What were your thoughts on that one? Seeing Cairns come back from probably I don't even know how to explain it.
That would be the largest comeback of the season. Like, yes, we talk about the Perth and United game in terms of comebacks, but that was, you know, in a very short amount of time. But in terms of margin, that's probably the biggest, right? Like 18 points, 6.
18 points in 6.5 minutes is insane. especially in, you know, NBA level, maybe understandable, but NBL, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, and without Pinder, who I am very upset that he didn't play because he's my fantasy captain, but he is their team, and everybody thought, oh, Cans are nothing without him. He's a 20 and 10 guy a night. You cannot do well without him, and they proved everyone wrong in both games this round. Like, yes, the second game was against Illawarra, but in particular that Adelaide game, like, it was just ridiculous what they did. And like, Scott had, was it 31-5-5, I want to say? 32-5-5?
31-4-4.
Right. Yeah, but like, just a ridiculous stat line. And I can't really put it into words what they did, because they you can arguably say that that's Adelaide's season. Like, you know, Adelaide lost to Phoenix when they had Randall by like a point. Well, it should have never gone into like overtime, but it did. Yep. And they lost to Perth twice, I want to say, in reasonably close games. And
they've just beaten Phoenix and Bullets, who, you know, they just beat Phoenix, who were very depleted at the time. They beat the Bullets by only 3 points, who you should be beaten by more if you want to be a championship team.
And they only really won that game because Sobey blew up at the ref.
Pretty much at the end, they could have easily lost that. So maybe I'm starting to think Adelaide are overrated, and they
add watch them pump teams.
They add Ian Clark, and I thought maybe they would be a totally different team. Ian Clark's perfect fit, but nothing's really changed. They haven't really given him as many minutes as I hope, or given him more plays, more impact than what he should be. It's weird, because I don't see Adelaide going into the top six. You know, who you're moving out. I mean, we could talk about that now. The next point here is who misses on the final six. Because you look, it's very tight. We mentioned it earlier. You know, a team that like Adelaide, who literally beat an NBA side, may not crack the top six this season, which is incredible. But you look at it right now. First are Sydney, 13-5. Then New Zealand, 11-6. Cairns, 12-7. Phoenix, 12-9. Perth, 10-8. Tassie, 11-9. Adelaide, 10-9. And Melbourne's still a little bit of a chance with 10-12. But they probably need to win their next six in a row. What do you reckon falls out here, Jackson?
I think you can flip a coin between Tassie, Adelaide, and Perth. Like, and even Southeast Melbourne, because they don't really play it. They don't play at John Cain Arena anymore. Like, that's them done for the season there.
Mm.
And the only teams that are real locks are Sydney and New Zealand, I'd say. And the rest is flip a coin and see what happens. Like, even New Zealand, because they haven't played in, they've only played once in like the last 3 weeks or so.
Mm.
Like, and they still have a whole lot to come back in, like Rupert's coming back in and all this stuff, and it may change their chemistry and whatever. But it will come down to the last game of the season again, because Perth plays Sydney last game of the season, and I reckon it'll be like last season where, like, I don't think it'll come down to whether Perth make the play-in or finals or not. I think it'd come down to positioning. I don't think it'll be costing Perth a final spot. I think it'd be who finishes fifth, who finishes sixth, who doesn't make it, or whatever. But that'll be a very interesting game to watch, I will say.
Yeah, the thing is, though, for me, I want to see the teams from 1 to 8. I want to see them all in the finals.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's only such limited spots. If we were looking at it last season, no play-in at all, it'd be a different story. You're looking at Perth, Tassie missing the finals, as well as Adelaide right now. And that's, you know, that's crazy to think, because they've had some really good games where they've shown that they can be championship contenders. All three of those teams, Perth, Tassie, Adelaide, even Phoenix, those teams all in the top seven have shown capabilities of being the best team in the league, but then some weeks they show they're the worst team in the league. So it's it will be a very interesting, what is it, six more rounds to go?
I'd say so.
About 8 to 10 more games for each team. So it's got to be an interesting end to the season, especially with the play-in. I'm looking forward to the play-in, though. I'm glad they introduced it because the top six has got to be very competitive. So you got to probably need a positive record to get in the way it is shaping up. But, yeah. Great crowds in the NBL this season. I just want to say this before we move on to a hot take. I mean, sellout at Melbourne before Christmas at the open air game. You had the sellout in Adelaide, the biggest crowd in Adelaide 36's history, 9,200, which is great to see. They're getting a couple more sellouts this week, and I hear. Cairns got a sellout as well. Figures don't say, you know, over 5,000, but still sold out tickets for their New Year's Eve clash. As I said, Hawks still got a good crowd. The last two games, even when their season is over, they're still getting decent enough crowd numbers. Tassie always selling out. I mean, the league's doing really good at the moment. Great crowd numbers. What do you reckon, Jackson?
They are great crowd numbers. And I think this shows that the league has rebounded from COVID, essentially, because last two seasons hasn't been even close because of crowd capacities and whatever else was going on. And, like, the only team that bothers me is Illawarra in terms of crowd sizes, because they have a 5,000-6,000 seat arena and they barely sell half of it. Like, yeah. that's the only team which is a concern for me. New Zealand, I get them having lower crowd numbers than usual because I haven't had a team in, what, 2-3 years. And that's the only one that, you know, is fine with me in terms of lower crowd numbers in previous years. But league's doing really well for itself. In particular, Sydney, they've jumped up a fair bit. Just on, you know, watching games at home, you can definitely see that there's more people there than...
Yeah, 12,000. Was it 12,000 there for that game against Tassie?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, almost 13,000. So great numbers everywhere. Brisbane are doing well as well. I think they had over 4,000 for Boxing Day game or New Year's Eve game, somewhere around there. Mm. Too many games to know, but they got a good crowd there as well. So NBL's looking good. And the thing is, if Tassie had a bigger stadium, there's no doubt if they, I think they played on Boxing Day too, and they played another weekend game, no doubt they would get 6,000 there, maybe 7,000, no doubt about it. Brisbane, they got a relatively small stadium out near the suburbs. If they had, say, 8,000 seat stadium, more in the city, they'd probably sell out a game this season.
I mean, isn't there already a 7K arena in the city?
But there probably is, I think.
Well, the tennis center?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I forget. I don't think they play basketball there, though. Pat Rafter Arena.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
You could still play. I reckon you can configure it to basketball, surely.
I think what they got to do is wait for the Olympics and build a whole new stadium there, probably move it to a 17,000-seater or whatever.
Yeah, but they still won't fill it, and the owners are only in it because of the Olympics. So, and they'll sell it quickly after.
We'll see what happens. But Perth haven't played a home game in a while too. So
their first game back's on the 10th. So
open-air game as well. So
yeah,
should get a good crowd for that one. Hot take of the week for me.
Yeah,
actually, you go first. You go first. Mine's two.
Okay. So I know nothing about this. This is just me speculating and hoping it comes true. I made a tweet today, I want to say a couple of hours ago, saying that my basketball wish list for this year is that the Perth Wildcats play the Chiba Jets. And if you don't know the Chiba Jets, they are currently the first ranked team in the Japanese B League, who have former Perth
still,
imports.
Still the top league. Still the top league though.
Yeah. Who have former Perth imports, John Mooney and Vic Law, playing for them. And my hot take of the week is that we will see less and less NBL games over the following years, and more and more Asian and European teams playing NBL teams, whether it's in Australia or overseas.
Mm. I like that. I think the NBL has to really tap into the Asian market soon. I mean, you look at guys like Kai Sato. We are already. We're getting the good players. Kai Sato, Zuchi, Udai Baba. We're getting all these good Asian, like the best players from each country. So next step is to actually play games there. You know, get Adelaide 36ers to play in the Philippines and get the Phoenix to play in China. Stuff like that. And create a EuroLeague for Asia. I think it could work. If it's during, you know, maybe after the season, say April or maybe earlier September around there, I think it could really work. But yeah, I like it. My one, talking about Asian players, Kai Sato. I said this to you. Do you remember this? Kai Sato will be in the NBA next season.
Are you doing this for the clicks or are you totally legitimate about this?
I'm legitimate. I'm legitimate.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, he has been playing decent. I wouldn't say if he was draft eligible, I still wouldn't say get drafted, but
yeah.
Two-way contracts, like what's the point of them in the NBA? You know, 17th man in the NBA. I think why wouldn't an NBA team get Kai Sato for the numbers? That would make so much money from jersey sales, from broadcasts, from literally everything, ticket sales even. If they just signed Kai Sato on a two-way deal, I think he's good enough for a two-way deal in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
I think
he is. Most people are.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely, I think he can definitely play summer league as well. Like he's a brink, like he can play J League and get double doubles in J League for sure. He's that type of guy. But I think he'll be in the NBA because of his fame in the Philippines and what he could bring to the NBA. Why wouldn't the NBA team just bring him on a two? You got two-way spots. Just why not bring him? Still developing. He's a 7'3 guy that's mobile.
You would make money back from if you sign him for $1 million or
and if it doesn't work out, you still made lots of money. That's all the NBA cares about anyway. So then Adelaide can have him back. But no, I still think he's a good player and I think he'll be in the NBA soon, 100%. Why wouldn't you want a 7'3 mobile guy who's still, what is he, 21, 20?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, he's definitely playing in the NBA soon. There's, you know, no doubt an NBA team will pick him up. And I think next season, why wouldn't a team pick him up on a two-way deal? He's got good agents this year compared to in the past, so hopefully it happens.
Yeah.
Right, my rapid questions to finish us off. A lot of Perth fans have been acting like this guy's a god of some sort, but does Corey Sherville get picked up by another club?
Yes. Watch his Lakeside Lightning highlights. He is an absolute gun.
Will the Websters actually stay for next season?
I can see Corey staying. I can't see Ty.
So you say both?
No, not both.
If Brisbane nailed their two import spots at the start of the season, would they be in the play-in tournament?
Hell yeah. No question about it.
Is Shannon Scott a better player than Scott Machado in the 1920 season?
So Machado, that season was
when they made the finals.
MVP.
Yep.
Yeah. No.
Will either Yanni Wetzel or Finn Delaney return to the NBL next season?
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. I agree with the Shannon Scott one. I think maybe Machado's last two seasons, Shannon Scott has been better, but people forget how good Machado was back in that. I think he was second MVP that year. So
he was. He was runner-up, and most people thought that he should have won it.
Yeah, so that makes sense. Should we do our tips to finish off?
Sure.
Right, so a short round this round because the round after, there's about 15 games in that round, so it's a short one, this one. New Zealand, Perth tomorrow, New Plymouth.
New Zealand.
I'm going to say New Zealand as well. Sydney, Phoenix in Sydney.
Sydney. Yeah, big Sydney.
League. Sydney. Brisbane, Cairns in Brisbane.
Cairns.
Yeah, Cairns should win that one. Adelaide, Adelaide, Illawarra in Adelaide.
Adelaide.
Yeah, Adelaide. This is a pretty easy round so far. Tassie, Melbourne in Tassie. That could be a good game. Melbourne are in form.
Yeah. Tassie.
No, I don't know about this one. I'm gotta say Melbourne. I'm gonna say Melbourne. Sydney, Perth in Sydney.
Do Sydney have any injuries? Or nothing
no.
yet?
No.
No. Yeah, Sydney.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Sydney as well. So Perth goes 0-2. We both say Perth goes 0-2 this weekend, so they'll probably go 2-0. Adelaide, New Zealand in Adelaide.
New Zealand.
Ooh, that's a good game. If Dale White is playing New Zealand, if he's not, Adelaide. Cairns, Phoenix in Cairns. Finish off the round.
Cairns, because I don't think Kel or Brown will be back.
Pinder's not playing as well.
Yeah.
Creek might dominate that game. That's a tough one.
Well, the thing with Sauce is that he can still drop 30 and 20 and they can still lose, like we saw against United. So, Cairns.
I'm going to say Cairns as well, because I want to be nice to them because I was so rude to them last week. And they, Anyway, that will do for another episode of the NBL Noobs podcast. Hopefully, Aiden returns next week. But yeah, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys later.